right, good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 13. You know, interference comes in different forms in our life. I remember when I used to work on airplanes, we used to deal with what was called noise, and that was stuff, static, that would come through the electronic equipment and the avionics equipment. And usually the first step to try and deal with that usually involved disconnecting a ground somewhere and replacing it at some other location. But we have all kinds of noise. Sometimes we have to deal with noise in our Wi-Fi, and from what I understand, your neighbor's Wi-Fi can actually interfere with your own. I remember back when we used to install car radios in our cars, there was a noise that would actually come from the engine, and you had to get a little filter to put in there to filter out that noise. But what about the other kinds of noise, such as the type of noise when we're trying to share the gospel with someone? Years ago, I was going through the gospel with a young man, and he had been actually studying with several different people at the same time. And wouldn't you know it, right in the middle of our Bible study, a knock at the door, and the other folks he was studying with showed up, and they were from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I remember I wanted to talk about Ellen G. White. And because they consider her to be a prophetess, and I remember the guy got really mad, said some very choice words, and stomped out the door. And so, because he didn't want to talk about her, and I asked, "Do you consider her a prophetess, and do you consider her word authoritative for who you are?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I think it does matter then." And so, but he didn't want to talk about that. And that's sometimes the sort of noise that we have to deal with. And that's what Paul and Barnabas is dealing with in the text that we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's go ahead and start reading from the beginning of Acts chapter 13. All right. So now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they had reached Salamis, they began preaching the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. Now when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. And so the text here focuses on the first part of their first missionary journey. And their focus when they come to the island here was to share the gospel. And they get to the other side and they meet the proconsul there, which was a Roman official sent to oversee the affairs of the island. And they run into this guy named Bar-Jesus. I think it's kind of interesting. You know what that name means, right? It means, Bar means son. So Bar-Jesus is son of Jesus. And Jesus means deliverer. But this guy was passing himself off as a prophet. And the text says he was a false prophet. And so they had to deal with him because he was contradicting them. He was getting in the way. He was opposing them and interfering with their sharing the gospel with this Sergius Paulus. And so as we look at this text this morning, we're going to look at some insights and how to deal with this kind of interference when we're trying to share the gospel with other people. And so that brings us to the first point. Take down the false bridges. In other words, don't be afraid to call a false bridge a false bridge. Don't be afraid or timid in calling false teaching for what it is. And you notice when Paul confronts this Bar Jesus, this Elymas, he didn't pull any punches in dealing with him. He said he was a deceiver. He said that he was a fraud. He said he was a son of the devil, a son of an enemy of righteousness. And the text itself calls him a false prophet. Now, you know what the word false means, right? What does it mean to be false? I went and looked it up in the dictionary. It's an adjective. It describes something. And the definition of the word false is simply not real or not genuine, not true or inaccurate. And then I looked up some synonyms for false. Something is false, then it is bogus, deceitful, dishonest, distorted, erroneous, fake, incorrect, invalid, or phony. And if it's not false and it's true, then it's accurate, authentic, correct, faithful, genuine, right, sound, true, trustworthy, and valid. None of which describes this Bar Jesus. And you know, Jesus warned us about people like this and about their teaching. Remember this? He said, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then," he says, "you will know them by their fruits." In other words, you're not left clueless when you run into these Bar Jesus type of characters. He said you will know them by their fruits. And of course, by their fruits, he's talking about their actions. And he's talking especially about their teaching. And so you can know whether they're true by examining them, whether they're true or false. Look at this one. Paul says, such men, talking about people like these Bar Jesuses, he says, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. And so, of course, there are people running around like these Bar Jesus, and the Bible tells us that we can know whether they're true or whether they're false. And it gives us some instruction. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Look at this one. "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Or this one. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." And so this Bar Jesus was a fraud, and Paul made it abundantly clear and exposed him and his teaching for what it was. Now some people bristle at this and say, you know, this seems unkind. It seems too exclusive. It seems too narrow-minded. But let me ask a question. Is it exclusive if a person getting ready to go up and jump out of an airplane to say, you have to have a proper parachute to do that? You can't jump out of a plane any other way. You can't jump out of a plane and try to flap your arms and that's going to work. Is that exclusive? Or what about if you've come down with a tuberculosis and you need this round of antibiotics in order to be cured? Is it exclusive to insist that you go and get that round of antibiotics? You see, whether it's exclusive or not is the wrong question. The right question is not whether it's exclusive or closed-minded or narrow-minded. The right question is it true? Is it true or is it false? And when it is a matter of life and death, whether it's jumping out of a parachute, whether it's taking an antibiotic, or whether it's your eternal salvation, when it is a matter of life and death, the right question is it true or is it false? And so, like Paul, we need to look at it frankly and not be afraid to call false teaching for what it is. You know, there are many bridges that claim to go to God but do not. And there are still plenty of Bar Jesus types of folks out there in the world opposing the teaching and the gospel of Christ. Whether it's a religion like Islam with a false prophet, Muhammad cannot save you. Whether it's someone like Joseph Smith or Ellen G. White, and the list just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And the Bible gives us guidance on being able to weigh truthhood from falsehood. So don't just accept what you hear. No matter who you hear it from, the final authority and the final test of its truthfulness is going to come from the Word of God. So be frank about it when you find false teaching. Doctors are frank about disease. Matter of fact, I appreciate when a doctor sits down and if he speaks language that I don't understand and we don't understand the terminology, what do we say? Speak it in such a way that I can understand. Make it simple. And that's what we need to do even more so with the gospel. So take down the false bridges. Number two, build good bridges. Build bridges that lead to God. Connect with hearers where they are. Now look how they did this in the text. We know that every time Paul and his companions go into a city, the first place they go is a place where they can connect with people, which was a synagogue, right? Because him and his band, a lot of them were Jewish, and so he would go and he would connect with them first, and plus he believed that the gospel should be preached to the Jews first, since the promises were made ultimately first to them. But you know what? I don't believe that was a huge challenge for Paul, because he himself was already Jewish with a Jewish background. It might have been even a bigger challenge when you're standing before people who didn't have a Jewish background. People like this Sergius Paulus. But notice I'm calling him Paul, but he was actually still called Saul in the first part of this text. And then it starts to call him Paul. And from this point forward, all through the rest of the book of Acts, it refers to him as Paul rather than Saul. Now, Saul is a good Jewish name, and it says something. When you immediately hear the name Saul, people would have known that this was a man who was a Jew. But from this point forward, he goes by Paul, which is a good Gentile name. Now, the text doesn't give any explanation as to the change, but it probably has to do with the fact that Paul is leaving and going to other parts of the world and taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And perhaps if he was to go by Paul, his Gentile name, rather than Saul, his Jewish name, perhaps he might easier make a connection with those Gentile people. And he's following a principle that we see here, and here he explains how he reaches people. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew so that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." I am making connections with people where they are, is what Paul says. Not just to blend in, but for the sake of being able to provide a hearing for the gospel of Christ so that they may respond to the gospel. And you know, the example of this comes from Jesus himself, doesn't it? Jesus didn't just shout down words from heaven. He didn't make the ground shake, you know, like at Mount Sinai. He could have done that. But instead, he came from heaven to earth as a Jewish man who spoke a human language, flesh and blood, walked in our shoes, and he connected to us on our level. And that's exactly what Paul says he's trying to do here, to connect with people. What does that involve? Sometimes it involves, depending on where you're at, maybe eating the foods that the other people are eating, dressing the way they do. Sometimes it involves learning their stories. Sometimes it involves learning their customs or their values, and being able to connect with them and understand the way they think and understand their values in order to communicate to them. Now, when you take a missions class, they call this, identification. Where you get down and you identify with the people so you can share the gospel with them. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of my mother, and that's me and my mother not too long ago. Her name is Chong Su, okay? She goes just by Sue.
And I've met a lot of her friends who are Korean. They would get together and they would eat Korean food and talk 90 miles an hour. At least it sounded that way to me. And I was always fascinated when I would listen to them talk. I remember all of her friends. I remember June. I remember Crystal's mom. I don't know what her name was. She was always a lot of the mothers were known by the names of their children. But I remember, and I remember Nan, and the name's gone, and all these American names. And I remember when I got older, I asked Mom, because I thought about it. I said, you know, those are American names. I'm pretty sure that's not what they were called in Korea. But all of them changed their names to American names when they came to this country because they wanted to, they came to this country to be an American. And so Chalcha became Nan, and Unju became... I can't remember what her name was. That was Crystal's mom. But anyway, and so the list goes on. So... But it's the idea here of being able to relate to other people in this country. Also reminds me of when you call customer service. And have you ever called customer service before and a person answers and they have a thick Indian accent from India and they say, my name is Bob or something like that. And you're pretty sure that's probably not their name, right? But I remember hearing... are seeing a documentary about this globalization that we have now, and some of the call centers we have are placed in other places around the world. And part of the training, this call center in India, involved taking on a name, such as Bob or Joe, and the reasoning was pretty obvious. People can relate to and remember Joe or Bob much more than they can a name that they can't pronounce. Okay, and so it makes a whole lot of sense. And so the idea was to connect with the person that's calling in to the call center. And that's basically what is happening here. Connecting, the call center is going out and they're connecting with people where they are. And it's something as simple as, I'm going to go by Paul rather than Saul. That's exactly what he's doing here. Building bridges to people. So what does it mean to build bridges to share the gospel in my neighborhood, in my circle of people that I know? And I know the possibilities are endless. Sometimes as simple as going out and bowling with people, or maybe inviting people to come and play bunco, or maybe pickleball, or volunteering in some sort of a community activity where you volunteer, helping with the food pantry. You connect with people there. You visit with people and follow up with them. The list is endless, and now we're actually considering possibly hosting periodic movie nights here at the church, where you can invite your friends and watch a family-friendly movie, and perhaps a movie that might jumpstart a conversation about God. And I'm sure you can think of a lot of other ways we can build bridges to and connect with people in order to share the gospel with them. And that brings me to the final point. Simply use the bridge. Use the bridge. When you make connections with people and build those bridges, we need to use the bridge. The ultimate goal is to deliver what is needed across that bridge. Paul and Barnabas's focus was specifically in passing on and teaching and handing on and handing down the gospel. And we notice here in the text in verse 5, they were proclaiming the word of God in the synagogues. And then in the end, at the end of the section that we read, it says that the Sergius Paulus believed. Now let me ask the question, what was it that caused Sergius Paulus to believe? What was it, what was the thing that turned him to the Lord? Now it's tempting to say, well, it was the miracle that they saw, but it jumped out at me. Verse 12. When the proconsul believed, when he saw what had happened, being amazed at what? The teaching of the Lord. You can have all kinds of stupendous, wonderful, marvelous things that get people's attention, but at the end of the day, faith comes from hearing the word. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us, right? Remember this passage? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If we never hear the word of Christ, then we never can have faith in Christ. The central feature of the ministry of Paul and Barnabas was the word of the Lord. And so the goal has to be sharing the message of the gospel. Because the Bible says it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And we all know what the gospel is, right? The good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried and raised up from the grave. And that is the only solution that we have to sin. And the reason sin is a problem is the Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God. All of us have fallen short of what God's will is for us. And because there's sin in our lives, it stands between us and God. And the solution is the gospel. And that's the reason why some of the campaigns that I participated in, we decided ahead of time not to get down and out if nobody responds. If we don't have a baptism that day, we don't get down and out. Because the purpose, our purpose is to share the gospel with someone. The rest of it is up to them and to God. Our part is to share the gospel. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit to convict them through the gospel. And sometimes people don't respond right away. Sometimes it's later on down the road. Sometimes we go the following day or a couple days later. We'll knock on the door and maybe they've been thinking about it. Maybe they've been in tears. Sometimes it happens that they're in tears when they think about it. And then they're ready to respond. But our part is to use the bridge. The response is not our responsibility. But if you don't bring the right thing across the bridge, we don't bring the right thing across the bridge. We bring some sort of substitute, or we bring some sort of gimmick, or we bring just something that gets people's attention and nothing more, then people are going to die eternally. It's great to make friends. It's great to build bridges. It's great to make those connections, but we need to take the next step. If I make those connections and I relate to people and I understand them and we become good friends and I never get to the point where I share the gospel, then what have I really done? And sometimes when we wait for the open door, it doesn't ever seem to come. And sometimes we have to open the door ourselves and maybe start with something such as, you know, we've been friends for a while now and something has been on my mind. You know, someday I'm going to die. We're all going to die. And I'm going to go to heaven. And I want you to go to heaven too. Sometimes starting with something like that, we can't find an open door, so we just make an open door. And you know what? If you are a guest here this morning, then I am so thrilled and glad that you're here this morning. And I want you to know that our heart's desire is not only that you hear the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and was buried and rose from the grave, but that you would also accept it. Jesus wants to forgive you of your sins, to wipe out what separates you from God, so that you can be ready to go to heaven to be with the Lord when He returns. And so, if this isn't something you've done, if you have not responded to the gospel, if you've not been baptized, and this morning, please make that decision. And if you've got all kinds of questions about it, then ask the person who invited you here this morning, or ask me, or ask any one of us. For everyone else, here's a question. What interference are you dealing with in sharing the gospel? Maybe it's somebody that's been running interference on you, or maybe the interference comes from your own self and your own hesitancy in sharing this with the people that you know in your life. Remember, this is a matter of life and death. And if you can't find an open door, then go ahead and make the open door. You know, I've had friends in the past where I've done that with, and they have come back later and said, I am so thankful that you took the time to share the gospel with me. There is nothing more precious than Christ and our Savior. This morning scripture reading reminds us of this, where Paul says, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. There is nothing greater and nothing more valuable. And so don't let interference keep you from sharing the gospel, and don't let interference keep you from responding this morning. We're going to go ahead and sing the invitation song, and if you do need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.